Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. In a moment, we will return to Mark chapter 14. As we have been speaking about Jesus at night, I was thinking how desperately we need him always. And sometimes we need him an extra abundance of his mercy and grace in our lives in the darkest hours. When I was a teenager, lying in bed, listening to my father verbally abuse my mother, I so needed Jesus that I turned to him again and again in prayer, pleading with him to intervene, to protect my mother and to bring peace to our troubled home. And then throughout the years, pursuing Jesus, when I have sometimes not been able to sleep because of illness or worry, or not being able to get the mind to turn off. And my Lord and Savior has always been there for me. Just as the Bible says, he neither slumbers nor sleeps. Have you also found him faithful at night, in the middle of the night, and in the wee hours of the morning before the dawn? Given all the many and various ways in which he has met our needs, when we cry out to him at night, the greatest need we have was met by him in the Garden of Gethsemane when he surrendered his will to God the Father's will and agreed that his death on the cross, drinking the cup of God's wrath, was his God-ordained destiny. Just after midnight on Friday morning, those many centuries ago, Christ, in agonizing prayer, chose to obey God, and he saved us from our sin and death. He met our spiritual need. Well, the next time you cannot sleep, for whatever reason, in the nighttime, remember Jesus in Gethsemane and the gift he is to you and to all who are the beloved of God. Mark 14:32 says, they came to a place named Gethsemane. And as we know, this was a garden. If you think about it, the Bible begins in a garden, the Garden of Eden. And in that garden, Adam and Eve sinned. In that luscious and peaceful orchard of God's handiwork, Adam sinned, plunged the entire human race into iniquity that still affects all of us. Adam, the first man. When we read through the Bible and come to here at Mark 14, we meet the second Adam, the last Adam, who is Christ. And in this garden, he feels deeply the agony, the guilt, the shame, and the penalty of Adam's sin. Jesus chooses to compensate for all that sin by taking it upon himself and paying Adam's penalty and our penalty in full. Two different gardens, two different Adams, two different outcomes. Praise God. Here are the reflections the great British preacher Charles Spurgeon gave in his sermon, Christ in Gethsemane. No clarion blast, nor firing of cannon, nor waving of flags, nor acclamation of the multitudes ever announced such a victory as our Lord achieved in Gethsemane. He there won the victory over all the griefs that were upon him and all the griefs that were soon to roll over him like huge Atlantic billows. He there won the victory over death and over even the wrath of God, which he was about to endure to utmost for his people's sake. There is true courage. There is the highest heroism. There is the declaration of the invincible conqueror in that cry, not as I will, but as thou wilt. With Christ's perfect resignation, there was also his strong resolve. He had undertaken the work of his people's redemption, and he would go through with it until he could triumphantly say from the cross, "It is finished." As always, Spurgeon is right. Very well said. This is our triumphant Lord. Let me encourage you to visit our website and download each episode's manuscript. These are available for every broadcast and podcast. A simple click on the link marked Read Along, and you will have them, including every quotation, so that you can ponder the content on God Is in greater detail. For example, you will have what was said last time by F.W. Krummacher, which was profound, and today these words of Spurgeon. Visit godisministry.org today. Well, let me read a few more verses from Mark 14. This is Mark 14, verses 41 and 42. Jesus came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand." All the while Jesus was on his hands and knees in agonizing prayer, the disciples were asleep. That is very instructive for us. The message is, when we are tempted by our flesh, by the world, and by the devil, we should retreat to Gethsemane for prayer. We must find that quiet garden, as it were, and plunge down on our hands and knees and seek God our Father for deliverance from Satan's traps and enticements. Our Lord has again shown us the way. He has left us the model for how to overcome our sin. May it be, brothers and sisters, that when Jesus comes to us, he will not ask, "Are you still sleeping and resting?" Rather, that he will find us praying in the night. Here he says, "Get up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand." And then Mark writes in the very next verse, "Immediately, while Jesus was still speaking, Judas." Christ was exactly right. He told the disciples to wake up. Judas, who betrayed him, was at hand. And then immediately Judas. Let me read all of verses 43 through 46 of Mark chapter 14. "Immediately, while Jesus was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, came up accompanied by a crowd with swords and clubs, who were from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now he who was betraying him had given them a signal, saying, 'Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away under guard.' After coming, Judas immediately went to him, saying, 'Rabbi,' and kissed him. They laid hands on Jesus and seized him." These verses describe the arrest of our Lord at night. Much can be said here, but our time is limited, so let me say this. First, notice that to emphasize how painful this betrayal of Jesus was, Mark, as well as Matthew, Luke, and John, say that Judas was one of the 12. Many of us have been betrayed in life by a close and dear friend, but none of us have experienced as wretched a betrayal as this one. The Son of God had brought Judas right into the intimate circle of only 12 men. He had taken Judas with him wherever he went and exposed him to awesome ministry. And yet this man handed the Lord over to the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders, who hated Jesus. And then, accompanied by a crowd with swords and clubs, and according to John, a Roman cohort of soldiers, they seized Christ. A Roman cohort could have been as many as 1,000 men, but more likely between 200 and 600 men. Why so many? Here's the simple answer in two parts. One, they were afraid Jesus would escape. I agree with those who suggest Judas thought Jesus would perform a miracle and disappear. This is why Judas says, "Seize him and take him away under guard." Two, the Jews and the Romans were afraid a crowd of people defending Jesus would turn out and create mob violence. To avoid this, they came well armed. John says they also brought with them torches and lanterns because it was the middle of the night. The sheer hatred these chief priests, scribes, and elders have is on full display. Second, notice that Judas had given the arresting officers a signal. Why? Well, contrary to many people's ideas of Christ, even to this very day, he did not walk around with a visible halo hanging above his head. He simply looked and dressed like any other Jewish man in those days. So, without a signal and in the pitch-black darkness of the night, it would have been difficult for, especially the Roman soldiers, to know exactly which man was Jesus, even with the torches. Third, here is the Judas kiss. Immediately Judas, saying, "Rabbi, kiss the Lord." And according to the verb tense used, this was a long and fervent kiss. In that culture, a kiss was a sign of respect and affection. But no wonder, according to Luke, Jesus says to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" Judas, the devil having entered him, completed his dastardly deed. There is more to this story, as you probably know. I cut the reading short. But I just wanted to give you a taste, a bad taste as it is, for another important event in the life of Christ during his final long night before death and resurrection. Next time, I will summarize the remainder of this night and the next morning and day before we briefly find out what happened to Jesus' body on Friday night. I hope you will ponder all of this in your mind and your heart tonight, and then join us next time because God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.